Alliance leader Naomi Long joins us. Good morning, Naomi.
Good morning, Billy.
So calls for Arlene to go are because of her gender.
Well, no, I think that's absolutely wrong. Obviously, I can't account for the reasons behind other parties, but I have a fair idea given what they've said. Their rationale, but I can give you a straight rationale from Alliance. I think it's important that Arlene steps aside. We've asked her to do so without prejudice. So that's the first thing. We've said that this should not be seen as an admission of guilt because there is no guilt proven. She should step aside without prejudice to the outcome of an inquiry in order that we can move on, that we can restore some confidence, public confidence in the institutions, but also in order that we can and she can focus on getting to the bottom of this in terms of the inquiry that we want, the public inquiry. And if that vindicates Arlene and says that she did nothing wrong, then she goes back into office much stronger than she currently is and much stronger than before. If it doesn't, if it finds that she was at fault and it raises serious issues about her judgment, well, then she deals with that as it comes. And I don't think it's misogynistic because it's exactly the same approach that was taken with Peter Robinson when he was embroiled in a much lesser scandal. It was £50,000, I think, was the value placed on that. And he voluntarily stood aside without prejudice in order to allow an investigation into that to take place and then return to office when that investigation was completed. So it's not misogyny, it's simply accountability. And I have to say, I think as someone who has always worked in non-traditional sectors my entire life as an engineer and a politician, I think it does a great disservice to women in public life and in non-traditional sectors to play the sexism and misogyny card when that is not the issue at stake. There is misogyny in politics. There is
in Northern Ireland.
In Northern Ireland.
In what way?
There is misogyny. There is sexism in politics in Northern Ireland. You see it on social media. You see it from some of the comments that are made against women who are in public life.
And do you see it between parties, Naomi?
Do I see it between parties? Well, no, I don't, actually. I think it's probably much more acute inside some parties than it is between parties. But from my perspective, to suggest that wanting to hold women to the same level of accountability as their male counterparts is in some way sexist or misogynistic is a nonsense. In fact, to hold them to a lesser standard would be sexism and misogyny. And I have to say that this is one area where Arlene and I have generally always been in agreement when it comes to issues around sexism. Women should be treated as equal to men, not better, not lesser, but equal. And that means taking the same amount of responsibility for their actions as any man in the same position. And so when we have called for Arlene to step aside, we haven't called for her to resign, we've called for her to step aside in order that we can do this investigation in exactly the same way that the one for Peter Robinson was conducted. And I can't see how on earth that could be construed as misogyny by anyone.
Alex and Lisburn, our first call today. Go ahead.
No, I've just been following the discussion and I just find it amazing. A lot of comments about Arlene Foster's claims about misogyny and so forth. I mean, I'm old enough to remember Maggie Thatcher. Whenever Maggie Thatcher was under pressure, she never once referred to her gender. And I think it cheapens the whole debate for Arlene.
So why do you think the First Minister has done that?
To distract. Simply as a distraction.
Do you believe there's any grounds in it?
I don't think so. The simple fact is, she was the minister responsible for a department that brought in a policy from England. She removed the safeguards that exposed us to hundreds of millions of pounds of expenditure. And she refused to take. She's refused to be held accountable.
Going back, Alex, into the interview in the Belfast Telegraph with herself and Simon Hamilton, who was on Good Morning Ulster this morning, they basically say over Christmas they've been coming up with a plan to try and rectify this. That they're aiming that the outspend this over 400 million will be zero, and then that's the plan. Simon says here in the Belfast Telegraph, the proposals I've been working on are designed to eliminate any future cost to the Northern Ireland budget. So should we give them the chance to fix this?
What I would say is this story first came to my attention back in June, whenever the line was from the DEP, it's the fault of the civil servants. So this hasn't just popped up at Christmas on December in spotlight. Also, whenever Arlene Foster was interviewed by Stephen Nolan, she says, I'm going to go to the Assembly on Monday and I'm going to have a plan. She didn't go to the Assembly and she didn't have a plan. So I think I agree with Steve Aiken. I'd want to have a read of what the proposals are. because I find it very hard to believe that. The question I would ask is this: if it hadn't been for the Spotlight program, if it hadn't been for the Nolan program, this whole thing wouldn't have come to the public consciousness. On that basis, would we have in Northern Ireland have been paying out £20 million a year because Arlene Foster and Simon Hamilton and the executive couldn't be bothered doing anything about a mistake they made four years ago?
I'm sure they would deny that's the case. In fact, the First Minister has said many times that she has been aware of this problem, you know, in terms of...
Why was it not done about when it first came to the question.
Unfortunately, I can't answer, Alex, but thanks for your call this morning. Nicola Mallon, you heard Paul Given from the DUP say earlier that the opposition have personalised this, so it's your fault.
Well, that's why I said, Denny, if you look, it's been everybody's fault. And I mean, everybody, from the whistleblower to the consultants, to the officials, to Jonathan Bell, to the media, to the opposition, now Sinn Féin. And now any criticism is because Arlene Foster is a female. Now, I can speak categorically on behalf of the SDLP, and our response to this would be exactly the same, whether it was a man or a woman at the heart of it, or whatever their political persuasion or background. So I strongly refute, and I would argue that this blame everybody but the DUP, blame everybody but Arlene, is a tactic that the DUP have consistently deployed throughout all of this, and it's fooling no one.
Ronnie and Newton Ards, go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, Ronnie, go ahead.
Morning, Billy. I'm just wondering why we're spending so much time on, now that we've found out there is a problem, why are we spending so much time on all this hypothetical issues regarding what the expenditure is per year? The point I'd like to make is that...
Is the detail not important, Ronnie?
It is absolutely important, but there's another issue which has cost us money. There was £30 million spent last year by the National Health Service, by people coming into the country, availing of National Health Services, and then going home again. Why are we not interested in the money that has actually been spent? That's out of pocket, out of our taxpayers' money. And apart from that, in the Northern Ireland region, how much of that £30 million was spent in this country? There's bound to have been a fair whack of that been spent in Northern Ireland.
Well, Ronnie,
why are we not going to look at money that has been spent?
Do you believe the First Minister, Ronnie, has been unfairly criticised then?
I absolutely do, yes.
And why do you think that is?
Well, she obviously isn't going anywhere. She's not going to voluntarily step aside. So who's going to force her to step aside? And I don't think she should step aside because she is a strong leader. She's probably the strongest First Minister we've had.
So going back to the question, Ronnie, why do you think she is being criticised in the way she is?
I think there's a lot of people trying to make political capital out of this, and I think that's totally wrong.
And do you think it's anything to do with the fact that she's a woman?
Oh no, I don't think it's anything to do with the fact she's a woman at all.
Because that's part of what the First Minister is saying.
Well, that's for her to answer. I mean, not being a woman myself, I can't move into that sort of thing. But look, she is being unfairly criticised by lots of people, and for the unionist parties to be railing so much against her, and for Mike Nesbitt to be in opposition, my goodness.
Well, Steve Aiken from the UUP is still with us. Steve, there's still obviously a lot of support for the First Minister.
I imagine that there is support out there for the First Minister. There's a lot of support for lots of political leaders, but what there isn't a lot of support for, and as the previous callers just said, it's about £30 million a year. He talked about the National Health Service, but the Renewable Heat Initiative debacle has cost us £30 million this year alone. It's costing us £85,000 a day, now and every day. And this has been going on. And they've known about this for 18 months. And just to go back to what I was trying to ask the question earlier on of Paul Given, the issue here is we've heard about what Arlene Foster and what Simon Hamilton have been talking about. We haven't heard what the Department for Finance are talking about. We haven't heard what discussions they've had with Martin O'Muller, because this cannot just be done between the First Minister and the Economy Minister. This has to be done in conjunction with the Department of Finance. We have a government. The government is supposed to provide guidance, it's supposed to govern, and it's supposed to help run our economy. We've got huge issues. We've got huge issues. We don't have an energy policy. We have problems with SIF. We have problems of going back to NAMA. We've got don't even have a Brexit plan. Yet, I don't understand how the First Minister and the Economy Minister have been working on something over Christmas without the work along with the Minister for Finance, Martino Müller. The government should be working together to solve this problem. We haven't heard from Martino Müller. We haven't heard about what his view of this plan is. And I cannot see how this could be cost neutral. I would be absolutely amazed if this turned out to be that it's not going to cost us anything, bearing in mind it's costing us 85 grand a day every day now.
The suggestion, Steve, that there could be fresh elections, would you yourself welcome them?
Yes, if that's what it had to, that's what it had to be.
In this article that we keep referring to in the Beltel today, the First Minister does say that if there was an election, then only 90 members would be returned to the new Assembly. Maybe that is why Mike Nesbitt is now saying that an election would solve nothing.
It's not. What we're saying is, if it, that's where we come to, we want to get this problem solved.
Would you be concerned of how your party would do in a fresh election?
No, not at all. We would do well in the next election. And I can tell you something. Because this next election, it's going to be about whether we look at institutionalised corruption or not. That's going to be the issue. That's going to be a huge issue. Because we need to say, how do we want Northern Ireland to be properly governed? Do we want to have this form of government that sort of tries to hide under the carpet, looks at things that are going to cost us the best part of 600 million, deal with issues that do with SIF, the problems we've had with sort of around United Airlines, this whole behind-the-scenes government. Things need to change. The people of Northern Ireland deserve better and a lot better.
Naomi Long, I want to bring Naomi in again at this point. Your thoughts on a fresh election of the only 90 members will be returning?
Well, I mean, I think we have said on this before that if we had fought a five-seat constituency to a 90-member assembly election back in May, we would still have had 8 members. So we're not at all concerned about any changes in terms of that. So it doesn't concern us in terms of an election. If there is an election, then we will fight it, and we will fight it from a perspective of having stood up for many years for openness and transparency and accountability, and not only having talked about it, but having led the way in terms of publishing our own list of donors and so on. So from that perspective, we have no fear of an election. But I have to say, an election doesn't resolve the problem. So, I mean, the DUP shouldn't use this as a further distraction technique, because as Nicola quite rightly said, we've had all sorts of distractions. Everyone is to blame for this except the DUP, except Darling. And now we're having the, well, let's have an election distraction technique. You know, when we go back and sign in on the first day post-election, I will still be calling for a public inquiry into the RHI scheme. I will still be demanding accountability, because that is the nature of government. An election doesn't draw a line under this scandal. An election doesn't actually change anything other than the makeup of the Assembly in small number. But what it doesn't do is remove the scandal from needing to be dealt with. It doesn't get to the truth of the issue. It actually, in many ways, suggests to the public that the Assembly is even more unfit for purpose, because not only does it create such a mess, but it is incapable of resolving a mess like this. Now, I think this is really important, and I think that the First Minister now does need to seriously reflect on this. I understand entirely that Arlene is saying that she has done nothing wrong. I have never suggested otherwise. But I am saying again to her, and I'm appealing directly to her, that I believe she can show leadership at this time by stepping aside without prejudice, without pressure, simply stepping aside as Peter Robinson did before her and allowing a public inquiry to take place.
Yes, you've made this point before.
That will clear her, that if she is correct, that will clear her reputation in a much quicker and cleaner fashion.
What about now with those that say, if those that claim that as you know, the First Minister is in at the centre of this, and then surely it's beneficial? Some might claim that she is in the centre of it when trying to rectify it.
Well, I have no difficulty with her being at the centre of trying to rectify it. My problem is, how can the How can the department for which she is currently responsible possibly carry out its executive office functions while she is distracted and whilst her colleagues in government are distracted by this scandal? We are in a dire situation, Vinny, which people have not recognised just yet. There are people returning to work over the next few days in the public and voluntary sector who rely on government funding for their employment. They are going to be placed on protective notice because they do not have a budget for the following year to allow them to be certain of their employment. And we do not have a budget because we are fixated on this issue, which is important and needs to be addressed. Now, I think it's crucial that we address this issue quickly, swiftly, that Arlene focuses quite rightly on fixing a problem which happened on her and Jonathan Bell.
Well, in reference to fixing it, going back to what the First Minister has said, we will consult on the proposals to ensure the permanent arrangements involve no further call on the Northern Ireland budget. So have you any faith in that at all? Do you think, is that possible?
Well, I mean, others have already said, why was this not done before? I'm not going to be churlish about it. The reality is that we're at a situation now where action appears to be being taken.
Could there be money coming from London?
Well, I mean, if there is, I think that in itself raises massive questions about the competence of the executive if they have to go cap in hand to Westminster because they can't actually run their own budget with any degree of competence. So, I mean, it has been said already in questions to Treasury and to the NIO that there will be no money coming, that the limitation, if you like, on Treasury expenditure on this will be up to what it would have been if the scheme had not been amended. So this is what happens when you breach parity. They will pay up to what their scheme would have cost and you pay the rest. That's how it works. This is what we warned about around welfare reform and this is what has happened around RHI. Now, okay. What we need to find out, we need to see those proposals, we need to scrutinise those, and if we get this reduced to zero, that's great. But that's the job of government. So they shouldn't expect to be thrown bouquets for doing their job, nor should they expect that exonerates them from their responsibility for the mess in the first place, which will still need to be investigated. The two things cannot be conflated. Simply because this problem is resolved does not mean that an investigation into how it occurred is not required. Otherwise, we will end up repeating it in other departments.
Naomi Long, thank you very much. More calls on this morning, 030 30 80 55 55. Michael and Bell Fast, go ahead.
How you doing, Vinny?
Good morning.
Just sort of the backup, sort of agree with what Ronnie was saying there. I think that the reporting on this has just gone on and on and on, and we're just digging up and sort of turning over the details, and we're going round circles. I want this sorted out straight away. People can, you know, decide on the DUP, Arlene Foster, and whatever else come the election time. I want this country back up and running, and it's a scandal what happened. But, you know, I'm actually a little bit annoyed at the BBC and Stephen Nolan as well, because whenever this broke, Stephen Nolan says you're going to hear about this for weeks. It's going to run and run and run. Keep tuned to this station. You're going to hear more and more of this coming out as the days go along, as the weeks go along. I just thought, you know, Stephen sounds like he's milking this. I want to sort it out ASAP. And I think there's bigger problems in the world.
Do you not think, Michael, that there's a massive public interest in this? Possibly over $400 million cost to our public purse?
Absolutely, but we're just going round and round in circles. You know, Naomi Long's on there. You'll have the UEP and Mike Nesbitt and the Nicola Mallon, and everybody's just sort of pointing a finger and they should have done this, they should have done that. I want it sorted out, and I'm sick of hearing about it. And to be perfectly honest, there's bigger problems in the world. I mean, look at Europe. Europe is in meltdown right now because Angela Merkel has let in millions of people, and Europe is an absolute basket case with the terrorist attacks on almost daily, weekly, monthly basis. And you know, why aren't you reporting on this? Apparently there's more incidents of the migrant attacks in the cities around Europe that you guys don't seem to be reporting on.
Okay. Michael, of course, the BBC would say that they do report on that there, and of course there are many outlets. But Michael, it's a fair point. Thank you very much. Go to John in Derry, London. Derry, good morning, John.
Good morning, Tony. This is a DUP doing what they do best. They're now trying to turn this now. This, I'm saying this is now a personal attack against poor Arlene. And this is people using this situation to attack Arlene, and you cannot talk about the HRA scandal without mentioning Arlene. It's like talking about the Second World War and not being allowed to mention Hitler. This is not a personal attack on Arlene Foster. She was a central figure in this. her my opinion, her reputation has been tarnished. Now, if I was Arlene Foster, I would be squealing from the rooftops for a judge-led public inquiry if I was as innocent as what she's saying she is.
Well, Arlene, the First Minister says she has done nothing wrong and has nothing to hide. John, thank you very much. We're going to speak to Alison Morris from the Irish News and journalist Alex Keane. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Alison, so let's go back to the gender issue. So the calls for Arlene to go are because she is a woman.
I think there's two strands to this. The first is the perception that because you're a sort of strong woman or a woman in a position of power that you can't be bullied by men or there can't be misogyny directed at you, which is untrue. I mean, I think that any woman, including myself, who's in any sort of public position, knows the amount of abuse and misogynist abuse that we have to put up with on social media and from all sorts of other outlets. And politics can be a very male-dominated world. But the misogyny that I have seen directed at Arlene Foster has been from anonymous sources on Twitter and Facebook, which is something that every one of us have to put up with daily. I feel for when she says about her children. I have grown-up children. I can't ban from social media. They've read awful things about me. So in that respect, I do feel for it. But I have not seen any misogyny directed at her from her colleagues in the Assembly or from the opposition parties. What they are calling for is accountability, and accountability for the person who was the minister at the time and who is now the First Minister. And I think that's valid. And it certainly has nothing to do with her gender. And I'm very surprised at her using that, because in the past I've always found a woman who doesn't traditionally play the woman card. And until we heard the allegations against Jonathan Bell, I had never heard her even mention misogyny in politics or any misogyny directed towards her. So in some ways it is a distracting technique. I have seen things written about Arlene and her appearance and things which are vile on social media, but they've been from anonymous, I usually assume male sources. I haven't seen any directed at her from her opposition parties or even from her coalition partners.
Yeah, but of course that doesn't mean she hasn't been subject to that.
Well, and the fact, I think, that the people who are being most vocal and calling for a public inquiry in this from the opposition parties are people like Nicola Mallon and people like Naomi Long, are so sort of distant to the fact that it's men ganging up on a woman. But no, I mean, misogyny exists. We know that. And just being a strong woman doesn't mean it doesn't. I think most people probably look at me and think I wouldn't tackle her, but it doesn't mean that I don't get subjected to misogynist abuse at times. But I don't think in this case that's the point. And I think there is an element of maybe using friendly sections in the media to try and distract from the actual issue at hand. And meanwhile, while we're talking about this and while we're moving on to talk about it, because it worked, as you said earlier, we are now talking about this issue today, when in fact the entire debacle over the 490 million / 650 million mess with the RHI scheme remains unresolved.
Okay, Alex Keane.
I think Alison's absolutely right on that, Vinny. And it's most of it, there has been stuff, and I've seen it. I've certainly seen it on Twitter, in particular misogynistic, horrible stuff about Arlene personally, which I have to say is, well, it's not a thing simply because she's a woman. I've seen that directed at Alison Morris. I've seen it directed at MLAs, MPs of both sexes, simply because there's a section on social media which just usually under the banner of anonymity has a go at anyone they disagree with, and the more vile and unpleasant and nasty and barbarous they can be, the more they like to get under your skin. But I think what we saw, the interview of both the David Blevins interview on Sky and the Lawrence White interview in the Belfast Telegraph, what we saw Arlene Foster do, simply say loudly and clearly, a week before she has to face the Assembly again, you want an election? You guys want an election? Bring that election on. I am ready to fight this. I'm ready to fight it on my personal reputation. I'm ready to fight it on my political reputation. I'm ready to take on all the political parties in the Assembly. I am ready to go to the public if that's what you want.
We touched on this yesterday, Alex, briefly on the programme, in terms of the block voting that we do here. Do you think, would they be damaged much, or would it still go along the lines of, I am a DUP, or I am a unionist voter, I am a nationalist voter, I am a Sinn Féin voter, and that is how I'm going to vote? Doesn't matter what's happened.
I think, generally speaking, there are two things here, Vinny. What we need to bear in mind, that of the 53-54% who have voted in elections here since 1990, and I'm just talking about the Assembly election, 90% of them who have voted along Republican Unionist lines. It doesn't matter what the issue has been, it doesn't matter whether it's decommissioning, how Trimble governed, whatever. None of that matters. They've always voted along those ways. Unless you get another 40% or even a percentage of those 40% who are willing to look upon this as a non-constitutional issue,
okay,
Nothing's going to change. And I don't see that happening at all. And the other thing is, I think Foster has done the calculation here. I think she's... And the DUP, give them their credit, the DUP
okay,
is very good, and they've worked out they can win this.
All right, Alex Keane, we'll have to leave it there. Alison Morris, thank you very much as well.